Good morning, Vertical Church. Y'all doing all right this morning? Man, y'all are blessed to have an incredible worship team. They are amazing this morning. I just appreciate good worship, and I just made me feel so much at home and worshiping God with fellow believers. Amen? And so I am so thankful to be here this morning to be able to share with you. Philip and Kaylin have been such great friends for such a long time. Kaylin, actually, if she's watching, Kaylin was actually in our youth group years ago at another church that I was a youth pastor at, and then I moved into being a young adult pastor, and she was a part of that group as well. And then she met Philip, and then we all eyeballed Philip and go, are you good enough for our Kaylin? And he turned out to be. What do you know? And so I just love Philip. I love his heart. He said I was a big influence, and it was only because of his ability to hear and just have a desire to serve God and have just a humble, amazing, yet powerful person that Philip is. And so I'm blessed to be here this morning. And your amazing team, this is a great, wonderful church. Amen. Let's go to the Lord. I know you didn't want to come and hear all the great things and all that stuff. You came to hear the word. Amen. Amen. So Father, we look to you this morning. And God, I pray, God, that it wouldn't be just information, but transformation this morning. God, that we would hear from you. God, that we can leave here today and say, you know what, I heard a word from the Lord this morning. And God, we'll be careful to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. So I pastor a church down in Woodstock with my amazing wife who's back at the home church this morning. And I brought a friend of mine, a good friend, David. So we're the David twins this morning. He just came with me. And I want to speak on a subject that is really kind of my go-to idea and my kind of, it's going to be on my, so it's some form or another on my tombstone, one of those kind of things. That's just part of who you are, amen? And I just want to speak on this topic. And the topic this morning I want to talk on is more like Jesus. How many of you want to be more like Jesus? So I'm always fascinated with nature. If you find me anywhere, a lot of times you'll find me in the woods. You'll find me, we live real close to Red Top Mountain down there in near Cartersville in that area, and actually Ackworth, Woodstock area. But you'll find me on a lot of times the Iron Hill Trail because I love hiking. My wife and I, we are avid hikers. We love to go hiking. We love to be in the woods. We love nature. We love everything. We always am amazed by nature. How many of y'all are nature buffs? That you would just rather just sit in front and watch National Geographic for hours on end, right? And so when Disney Plus came out and you found out that was on there, that's why you, not for the Disney, for the Net Geo, right? So so I'm a huge nature buff. And one of the animals that really fascinates me is the mockingbird. The mockingbird. The mockingbird is an amazing, amazing animal, bird, if you will. And we know the mockingbird because the mockingbird mimics, right? It mocks different things. And it's an amazing thing. It'll mock all kinds of different, and it'll even mock amphibians. You know that? Like frogs. All kind of animals. If you put them near sirens for a while, like police sirens, it'll actually mimic sirens, police sirens. And it's amazing. Car alarms. There's videos on YouTube of these mockingbirds mimicking car alarms. It's amazing. The mockingbird has been known to learn up to 200 songs in its lifetime. 200 songs. And it just happens that the male mockingbird is the loudest mouth of them all. And all the women of God said amen. It's amazing. Isn't that amazing? God's creation is absolutely amazing. So this morning I want to ask you a question. Are you a mockingbird? This morning. Are you a mockingbird? Let's launch off into the scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul says this, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators of God as beloved children. That is a strong command to us. The word imitator in the Greek actually has to do, it's the Greek word mimentes, where we get the word mimic. We get the word mimic from them. So also another thing about me is I love comedy. I love, that's probably why me and Philip get along so well. But I love comedy. I love impersonators. How many of y'all love impersonators? Impersonators. I love to watch impersonators. I love to watch, and it's amazing how these guys can make their voices like, and it's absolutely astounding to me. And so just for, like, I remember we'll just do our age, figure out where everybody is in their age, because I remember Rich Little. Yeah, amen, amen. Some of y'all haven't heard the name Rich Little in forever, right? I remember Rich Little, and then you moving on up, like Robin Williams, he was a great, Dana Carvey was amazing at that. More recently, Frank Caliendo is like probably one of the best at mocking and imitating people. And it's amazing that you can take somebody's voice and you can actually make your, I would love to be able to do that. And I've tried, and people say, you just need to quit. Stop it, right? So, but that amazes me, the idea that we can mimic somebody else, that people can mimic somebody else on that degree. So we are called, according to the scripture, to be imitators or mimics of God. Wow. How many of y'all completely feel like a complete failure in that? Because you are asked to be the imitator of the one who created it all, right? The one who has the moral compass, right? The one who's called the earth out of the sea. We're called to be imitators of God. So one of the things about impersonators is an impersonator has to have a source material. He has to have source material. The people that imitate, like Donald Trump, right, they'll watch him for hours to imitate and get his voice, get his tone, right, get how he says different things. They have to have source material. Everybody say source material. Aren't you glad that God provided source material for us to mimic? The source material is obvious in the person of Jesus. Jesus is our source material. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, the writer says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, watch this, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining by all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for our sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He says that Jesus is the exact representation of God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says this in verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And then John, Jesus, and it's amazing that a lot of us are familiar with this scripture. It says in John chapter 14 and verse 8, Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus, shaking his head, face palm, right? That's my version of this. He says, Philip, have I been with you all this time, and you still not know me? If anyone has seen me, he has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own. Instead, it is the Father dwelling in me, performing his works. He says, the scripture tells us that Jesus is the very image of God. He is the exact, I don't need to break that word down, right? Exact representation of God. It's interesting that in the book of Acts, in chapter 11, verse 25, it says, then Barnabas, this talks about, just read it. Acts chapter 11, verse 25, it says, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him back to Antioch. So for a full year, they met together with the church and taught the large numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. A lot of us have been taught what Christians mean. Christians actually has to do, we've been taught that it means little Christ, right? Or Christ ones. Meaning that when people saw the church at Antioch, they said, those guys look like Jesus. There was something about them that says, hey, those guys remind me of this Jesus character that we used to know, right? interesting about the Church of Antioch, the Church of Antioch was not a small town. It was a very large, multi-ethnical town. Matter of fact, there was multiple languages that were spoke in the church at Antioch. It was It was Jewish, Gentiles, they were all together, and they spoke different languages. The one thing they had in common is they looked like Jesus. They looked like Jesus. They looked like the person of Jesus so much that they would call them Christians. And actually, it was kind of a term of, you know, it was like antagonistic. It was kind of a put down. You're a bunch of Christians. Now we wear it as a badge of honor, right? I am a follower of Jesus. Amen? I am a Christian to the truest term of what Christian means. I am a follower of Jesus. That's who we are. Amen? We are followers of Jesus. So what that tells me is this. My number one goal as a believer, if I'm to be the imitator of God, my number one goal should be to study the life and person of Jesus. Who he is. When he was on the earth, who he was. How did Jesus deal with tough times? How did Jesus deal with persecution? How did Jesus treat people that we would call sinners? What was his attitude to those people who despised him? Now, this is what we're supposed to be imitators of. So I need to know how Jesus treats people. I need to know how Jesus understands and how what Jesus' mindset is about people, the people around us. And as a guest speaker this morning, and all do, if we miss this, we miss it all. We're called to be imitators of God. I like to say it like this. Well, Scripture likes to say it like this. We are ambassadors of Jesus, right? That means I need to accurately represent him here. I need to accurately represent him here. That's my saying for my life. Is Lord, help me to accurately represent you here. So for example, how do we study the life of Jesus? I believe there's something in the Bible that I would call the TED Talk of TED Talks of the Bible. It is the keynote speech, if you will, of the Bible. And that speech is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You want to really understand the heart of Jesus? Be a studier of the Sermon on the Mount. Read the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what we do. So at our church, we've made a switch in our small groups that we will say, you know, because we'll say, we'll read a scripture, and then we'll say this. Well, what do we think about this? Is that the right question? Like, is that the right question that we should be asking? What do I think of this? We're all family, right? God doesn't give a rip what we think about this scripture. You know what God wants to know? How am I going to respond to this scripture? How do I respond to this scripture that I just read? Not what I think. There's too much thinking going on. And we need to learn to respond to what the text says, right? What did Jesus say? And now what he says, how do I respond to that scripture? How do I take what's in that scripture and apply it to my life, right? So actually, we ask two questions when you, actually, it's not a bad idea. When you read the scriptures, ask two questions. What does this scripture reveal about God? What does the scripture that I just read reveal about God? And what's my response to it? And that should lead you right into prayer. It does me. Right? So how do I respond to scriptures like, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth? How do I respond to this scripture that says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled? And this is not for this church, it's for other churches, this next scripture. So just you know, just write this down. You can pass it on to your friend. It says, take the plank out of your own eye first. See, now it's how do I respond to that? As a believer, how do I respond to this? And then it says, let your light so shine among men that they will see your amazing Facebook posts and glorify God. They will see all your angst about culture and they'll glorify God. That's not what it says. What it says is that they will see your good works. That's why what you're doing with these for this lunch program is a great thing, because you're serving people. Because God, what people want to see from the church is the people to be like Jesus, who loves like Jesus. Oh, that the church would understand that that's our number one goal, is to be like him. And how do we live our lives for him? That we would be accurate representatives of him on the earth. The church, listen, the church doesn't need necessarily a new leader. What it needs is people that understand the power of people, of what happens when people come and act like Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. That God himself lives in us and draws us and creates us into his image. And that's our goal. What would it look like if we all became people who acted like Jesus? What Blairsville needs is people to act like Jesus. What Blairsville needs, because too many people in Blairsville have seen a bad representation of Jesus. Amen. And they need people to stand up and be servants above all. That it's not about me. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. We're supposed to, why is Jesus like that? Because that's the way the Heavenly Father is. That's the way God the Father is. He's called us to be imitators of him, that we love like Jesus loved. We love like God who loved us so much that he gave. And we're called to be imitators of him. That's a tall task. But again, aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit, who comes inside of us and changes us into who we're called to be? He changes us from the inside. I did a message last week that, and I'll just tell it, like we talked about the idea that change doesn't come from outward manifestations of changing, right? Church is not behavior modification. We don't believe in just behavior modification. We believe that change comes from within. Change comes by the Holy Spirit working in us. We call it, in the religious world, we call it sanctification. That we live a lifetime of sanctification, becoming like him. We grow from glory to glory, becoming more like him. That's what our world needs. That's what our world needs. It needs people to rise up and be like Jesus. Like Jesus. Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 29. He said, For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brothers and sisters, that we're conformed into the image. C.S. Lewis said what I'm talking about. He said it like this. Putting on Christ is not one of many jobs a Christian has to do. And it is not sort of a special exercise for the top tier people in Christianity. C.S. Lewis said, it's the whole of Christianity. It's all of Christianity. And then Rick Warren said this about this idea of Christ-likeness. And this will move to my next part. Christ-likeness is not produced by imitation. Christ-likeness is produced by inhabitation. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm going to ask David to come. Where's David, my guitar player? Give David a hand as he comes. He's awesome. Worship teams are awesome. So as he does, I'm going to ask him to do something. So I used to play bass guitar, and for years I played in worship teams and that kind of stuff. So, and I still believe that bass guitar, sorry Dave, is the greatest instrument ever known to mankind. I know David, the psalmist, may have something to do with it. I'm not kidding. I think if David in the Bible had a bass, he would have played a bass instead of the harp. It's just my opinion. I can't prove that. But David, come over here. I want to show you. This is a tuning fork. How many of you have ever seen a tuning fork, the proper way a tuning fork's been used? A tuning fork is interesting because this is a tuning fork, and it's tuned to A. This is A, not A tuning form. This is the tuning fork in the key of A, right? So when I strike it, it has the A tone. Watch this. I hope this works, David. You promised me it'd work. Don't do that. All right, here we go. So what you do is you strike it, and then you place it on the instrument, and we're going to see if this works. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to do it again. And then the idea is, thank you, David. The idea is you tune the guitar to the A. Because guys, listen, this is the source material. There is no other A. This is A. If you play an instrument, all the worship team will agree, if you play and you say that that's A, even though you fret it, right, on the guitar, and it's you tell people it's A, that's not A, this is A. Because this is the source material. So what happens is, as a believer, we strike the word of God and we apply it to our hearts. And then we tune our lives to Him. I don't tune this tuning fork. I tune myself to Him. The question I asked a minute ago is, are you a mockingbird? Your answer should be, I hope not. Because we're not called to mimic everybody that's around us. We're not called to mimic just every sound that we hear. We're called to tune ourselves to the person of Jesus. Act like Him. Talk like Him. Love like Him. Serve like Him. WWJD. Duh. It's what we've said for years. It's the whole, C.S. Lewis says, it's the whole of Christianity. Worship team, you can come on up. So listen, I need the Holy Spirit to touch my life in such a profound way that I am constantly tuning my life to Him, tuning my actions to Him. Lord, was that action towards my spouse okay? Lord, how am I doing as an employee treating my employer? Am I honoring You? Am I Christ-like in my ability to submit? Am I Christ-like in my ability to walk in love with the people around me? How do I come against, what do I do with people who come against me and persecute me? I tune my life. And what the world would call that as weakness, God calls it your greatest strength. Listen. How will they know you're believers? Because you put a fish thing on your computer screen at your work? Because you put a fish on the back? Because you can say, I go to Vertical Church on your car? People will know you're My disciples, Jesus said, by the way you love one another. He says, they will see your good works and glorify God. I would make the argument that this is the most important thing we need to do as a Christian. Is become imitators of Jesus. You can have all the theology you want. But if we're not imitators of Jesus, what do we really have? Amen? Amen? Go ahead, worship team.